Hi, good evening, everyone. It's a pleasure to be back. It's our third straight year with the Haggadah highlights sheer, and hopefully we'll still have what to share. There's no shortage of Divrei Torah on the Haggadah. I was in this farm store on Sunday, and they had enough different Haggadahs to fill an entire store. Every Rav and Talmud Chacham and Rosh Yeshiva and Gadol has a Haggadah or two or three. They've gone back to taken their Divrei Torah in other places and compiled them into Haggadah. There's the Emoji Haggadah, which I did not purchase this year. So none of the Divrei Torah tonight will be from the Emoji Haggadah. There's the Harry Potter Haggadah. I didn't get that one either. But hopefully we'll have Divrei Torah to share. It was difficult for me deciding the format for this shiur. I didn't know if I should go in order of the Haggadah or if I should go by theme. I don't know if it should be more drush, more halacha, more like vertla. I'll have a little bit of everything, hopefully. I like to present two or three points of introduction, general ideas, and then try to develop a few themes with Divrei Torah and Haggadah on those themes. And then if there's time at the end, a couple of quick hits from different parts of the Haggadah. Please also, if you have anything to say or add, at least I would love if you did so and interrupted and participated. Usually the shiur I give, I like a lot of participation. This, I guess, isn't set up for that as much. But please, if you have what to say, if you have a thought that would enhance or support a thought that I'm sharing, so I would love to hear so. Okay, there's it's very interesting. In the Haggadah, the Ben HaRasha, I'm sorry to start with the Ben HaRasha. The Ben HaRasha says, Ma Avoda Hazos Lachem. What's this Avoda? What's this Judaism? What's this thing you're doing? And the question is, why is Pesach the holiday that gets him out of sorts? Why is Pesach the holiday that gets him crazy? Pesach is one long celebration. Pesach is the celebration of our chirus, of our freedom, of the geula, of the redemption. Wine. Who doesn't like to drink wine? We recline like kings. So what's not to like about Pesach? Why is the Ben HaRasha saying, Ma Avoda Hazos Lachem on Pesach? I would think maybe Yom Kippur. You can't eat. You're in shul the entire day. Sukkahs could be uncomfortable being outside in the cold or in the hot, depending on the year. Why Pesach is the Ben HaRasha saying, Ma Avoda Hazos Lachem? So I saw in the Haggadah of Melech Biderman, who's a popular speaker and Rav today in Eretz Yisrael, he says, because many children, so for 2 weeks before Pesach, so what are they hearing? They're hearing the complaints. It's so hard. It's so difficult. There's tension in many of the homes. The nerves. People are uptight. Maybe they're hearing complaints about how expensive matzah is and how expensive. Why is chicken, which last week cost one price, because a week later it's the same chicken? Why does it cost so much more? Complaints, complaints, complaints. So the Ben HaRasha says, Ma avoda hazos lachem. Who needs this? Who wants to be part of a Judaism which is so tight and so uptight and so oppressive? So that's why it's Pesach. So our job is to create an excitement. It's to create excitement in the home if we have young children. It's to create excitement in the home if we have grandchildren. And it's to create an excitement in ourselves for the holiday, as difficult as it is, not to minimize the difficulty. We don't have to talk about the difficulty, but to create an excitement. So I saw three different customs or actions of Rabbanim to create an excitement. I never heard anyone do any of these three. I'm not saying I am going to do any of these three, though I want to, but I'm worried that if I do, it'll be a little bit fake. But if anyone wants to join or try any of these ideas, or maybe it'll get us thinking for different ways to make some of the holiday excitement. In the biography of Avigdor Miller, which came out a year ago, they record that during Bedikas Chametz, when he hid, the minhag is to hide or to put 10 pieces of bread around the house. So what did Avigdor Miller do? With each piece of bread in the napkin or in the bag, he put chocolate. The kids will look and they get so excited when they find the chametz, find the bread, and they get a piece of chocolate with it. Never saw anyone do that. I thought that was a creative, interesting move to get kids excited about Bedikas Chametz. Then I saw, and this is unbelievable, there was a great Rav in Bnei Brak named Rav Nosson Gestetner. He passed away in 2010. He's a Rosh Hashiva and a Rav in Bnei Brak. He was spotted numerous times walking to Bir Chametz, walking to when we burn the Chametz in Erev Pesach, and instead of having his Chametz in a brown paper bag or in a plastic bag, he had his Chametz wrapped in his beautiful challah cover. He had a leather, silver, some kind of beautiful challah cover, excuse me, and he brought the Chametz to Bir Chametz. This is a mitzvah. There's an excitement. There's an honor of the mitzvah. People carry the esrog in a wooden box, a silver box. So the chametz, which were burning for the mitzvah, he showed honor to that mitzvah, and he wrapped it in his beautiful chametz, regular Shabbos challah cover. I thought that was interesting as well. And then there's a comment of the Mishnah Brura. This is unbelievable to see this in the Mishnah Brura. This is not in some sefer of a Rebbe. The Mishnah Brura writes, Kasav Shla, the Shla writes, Ra'isini bnei aliyah, I see people who are growth-oriented, minashkin hamatzos v'hamarar. They kiss the matzah, and they kiss the maror. We'll get to the maror in a little bit. Has anyone ever seen anyone do that? Take out the matzah and kiss the matzah. First of all, you need a lot of... I had not enough shleimos last year without kissing the matzah. You're going to kiss the matzah. You're going to break. At the Seder. And again, I'm not saying that anyone here needs to take any of these three ideas. But if we want our children, our grandchildren, not to fall into the trap of the Russia, the Ben HaRusha, who says, Ma havoda hazos lechem, who needs this, who wants this, because he's seeing a house which is tight and angry and uptight and tense and complaining. There needs to be something that we do besides giving out candy at the Seder to show ourselves, to show them that we're really excited and we're looking forward to this holiday. So that's to show their excitement. And then to prepare. Obviously, the Seder requires preparation. I saw a very interesting insight. The minog, it's in the Shulchan Aruch, to have an egg at the Seder. Not just as one of the items on the Kaara, the people of the minog during Shulchan Aruch, in the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, before the soup, after the soup, it doesn't really matter. People have the minog to eat an egg, and there are some more classic explanations, and I saw this year two, to me, newer explanations. The classic explanation is that egg is a food of avelus, right? The round, the circle of life, and Tisha B'Av always falls out on the same day as the first day of Pesach. So we commemorate as a remembrance to the avelus, the mourning, that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, since it's the same night always, Tisha B'Av, the first night of Pesach, so we have an egg as a food of mourners. The Gra says it's the Zecher to the Korban Chagiga, okay? The Chassam Sofer says, very interesting, that what happens when you cook an egg, the longer you cook an egg, the harder it gets. And that's the history of the Jewish people. The longer we're, so to speak, cooked, the longer we're persecuted, the longer we're under attack, the stronger the Jew becomes in our resolve to survive. Then I saw something very interesting. The Imre Emes. The Imre Emes was one of the Ger Rebbes. There's quotes of Gemara in Maseches Beitza, in the beginning of Maseches Beitza, when discussing the laws of an egg that was not born, hatched on Yom Tov. The Gemara says, Kol Beitza Shenolda Hayom Me Esmol Nigmara. Any egg that was hatched, was nolad, born, so to speak, today, means it was finished yesterday. Which means, if you see something today, an egg today, it was finished, it was complete yesterday. So we want to, so to speak, be born anew on Pesach. We want to raise to great heights. The only way that that's going to happen is if it's nigmara me esmal, if it's finished from the day before, if it's prepared. So just like an egg which is born, hatched today, was prepared yesterday, so too, if we want to grow, we want to change Pesach, it has to be prepared from before. Now the difficulty with that explanation is then we should have the egg the day before Pesach or a week before Pesach if it's all about the preparation. But the message for us tonight is that in order to have a productive and enriched, inspired Seder, so we too need to prepare for the Seder. So what does it mean to prepare for the Seder? Tonight's shiur, I'm almost uncomfortable giving because all of the Svarim that I've seen and all of the Gedolim who's described their Seder, they didn't really tell Divrei Torah. What did they do? They just told the story. Very simply, they explained. My brother, when he learned in Nativ Aryeh, Shiva Kotel, so he stayed in America, you know, he stayed in Israel, and he had Seder at the house of Rav Nevinsel, who was the chief rabbi of the old city. And all the Shana Bet boys who didn't go back to America for Pesach, my brother came back Chol Hamoed. He stayed in order to have Seder at Rav Nevinsel. And Rav Nevinsel, who has a beautiful Haggadah, who is a Talmud Chacham, he didn't say any Divrei Torah at the Seder. He just told the story and explained the Psukim to his children and young grandchildren. The Chassam Sofer, somewhat famously, his Seder, he just translated the entire Haggadah to his family in Yiddish. The Reb Chaim Kanievsky says the Seder, the Chazon Ish, the same thing. The Chazon Ish just explained. They would tell their children Midrashim about the Makos, Midrashim about Yitzias Mitzrayim. So probably the best way to prepare for the Seder is to familiarize ourselves with the Haggadah. There's some great English books. There's a book called Let My People Go, which basically is written as a novel. They took all the Midrashim from lots of different Midrashim and rewrote, but they tell the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim and the Makos in novel form. It's excellent. I don't know if they have it at the local store here. You could probably get it online as well. Yeah. I forgot the first name. Deutsch is the author. It happens to be that I'm sure many people have it home, the Little Midrashes, unless you put it in Shemos. Last time there was a Shemos drive. Also excellent. Again, it's not necessarily written, no, it's not written for adults, but there's some beautiful Midrashim, and then we could tell the story. The story doesn't need more. The story sells itself to just explain to our children, grandchildren, family and friends, the very simple explanation, the simple story. Okay, that's enough of points of introduction. Let's share some Divrei Torah and Haggadah. I think one of the main themes of the Seder is Emunah. Is it belief? Belief in Hashem. The whole point of Yitzias Mitzrayim is to instill in ourselves a rock solid foundation, a strong belief in Hashem. And I saw a very beautiful insight, which Rabbi Yashiv used to start every Seder with this Dvar Torah. Okay, we say in the Haggadah, it's the beginning of Magid, Omar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, Hare ani keben shivim shana. I am like 70, right? The Gemara says that he was really 18 and he became the Nasi and he was worried that they're not going to respect him because he looked so young. So he grew this beard and he was like he was 70. V'lo zachisi shetei amei yitzias mitzrayim b'leilos. I was never zoch, I never merited, I never thought one needs to fulfill the mitzvah of zechiras mitzrayim at night until Ben Zoma came along and Ben Zoma had his drasha, yimei chayecha, as the days, kol yimei chayecha is to include the evenings. All the Mefarshim are bothered. What is this doing in the Haggadah? That's not talking about Pesach. That's not talking about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is a mitzvah on Pesach, which is different than the mitzvah all year of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. All year, every day we have a mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. To remember, we fulfill that in Shema, we fulfill that maybe in MS V'Emunah, in Marav, MS V'Yatziv in the morning. We have a mitzvah every day of our lives, twice a day, to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim. Pesach is a different mitzvah. Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. The difference, at least according to Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, is that on Pesach it has to be question and answer form. On Pesach we have to start with the negative. Maschil Beginus. We start with the Avadim Hayinu. And we end with the positive that God took us out of Egypt. Pesach, we need matzah. We have props, maror. During the year, we don't. But this Mishnah, or that statement of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, lo harei ani kiven shivim shana velo zachisi shetam eretz yisrael mitzrayim, is not referring to Pesach. It can be said about tonight. So what's this doing in the Haggadah? So Rabbi Yashiv has an unbelievable insight, and really only someone who knows, like Kol HaTorah Kula, could say this explanation. Who is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? What do we know about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had tremendous yichus. He was a descendant of Ezra. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that if the Torah hadn't been given to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ezra was worthy enough to get the Torah for the Jewish people. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had tremendous, tremendous yichus. He came from Ezra, so far it was fit to give the Torah to the Jewish people. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah also is very wealthy. The Gemara in Shabbos says that every year he gave in Meiser Behema. You have to give 10%, 1/10 of your flock as Meiser Behema. And what was his payment a year? 12,000 animals. So he was a wealthy man, 120,000 animals born a year in his flock. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had yichus and he had money. He also was obviously a tremendous Talmud Chacham. At 18 years old, he became the Nasi. He was appointed Nasi over Rabbi Akiva. He took over for Rabbi Gamliel, 18 years old. So he had yichus, he had money, he was Talmud Chacham. Not only that, but miracles happened to him. God gave a stamp of approval and gave him performed a miracle of having him grow a white beard overnight so people respect him as a stamp of approval. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, Hare Ani. Look at me. Look at me. Yichus, money, Talmud Chacham, miracles performed for me, and still, lo zachisi. I still didn't merit to get it right. Who trumped me, so to speak? Who was right? Who won out over me? He doesn't have a name. Ben Zoma. Ben Zoma is his father's name. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that Ben Zoma would sit by the Talmid Chacham. He wasn't really able to even talk to them, converse with them. He sat with them and tried to, so to speak, I don't mean this in a negative way, rub shoulders with the Talmid Chachamim. He would try to listen to them, try to hear what they had to say. We don't even know his name. And still, he was the one who informed Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. He was correct, so to speak. He taught Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah that you could fulfill Zechir HaSisiyas Mitzrayim at night. So says Rabbi Yashiv, there's no greater, I shouldn't say no greater, this is a huge boost for one's emunah. We think, if you have yichus, and you have money, and you have Talmud Chacham, so you're going to make it. But another guy, we don't even know his name, he has no yichus, he has no money, he's not Talmud Chacham, he's not going to make it. The only way that could happen is because there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu running the world. When there's a God running the world, so everything that we think should happen doesn't necessarily happen, and people we think maybe shouldn't be successful could be very successful because there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu running the world. And says Rabbi Yashiv, that's why this story, which doesn't really have to do with Pesach, is in the Haggadah. Not so much because it's about Yetzias Mitzrayim, because it's this message of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah saying, Hare Ani, look at me. But it was really Ben Zoma who came out on top, so to speak.
I think they brought it because it's after the Sippur of Rabbi Akiva.
Okay.
Those five Chachamim that were sitting. So that's the continuation, because the Talmidim came to say, it's time to say Kriya Shema.
But that was on Pesach, at least.
What?
That was on Pesach.
So that's why they brought the story connecting. Real,
okay, it could be. That's a simple shot. That was Rabbi Yashu's understanding. Rabbi Usher Weiss, who's also a Rav in Eretz Yisrael, he was in Teaneck last week and spoke. My parents were there, and they sent me a recording from a shiur, and he had a very interesting insight. He also developed that Pesach is about Emunah. There's a Ramban in the end of Parshas Bo. It's somewhat well-known Ramban. The Ramban says that the point of Yetzias Mitzrayim and the open miracles is that through the open, revealed miracles, we start to recognize that even the Nisim Nistarim, even the hidden miracles, are also miraculous. Without the open miracles, so it's easy to chalk up everything else that happens to nature. But what Mitoch, he says, min ha-nisim ha-gedolim ha-mufursamim, from the great, open, well-known miracles, adam modeh b'nisim ha-nistarim. A person admits, recognizes, realizes the small miracles, Pesach, and reading and learning and hearing and telling the story of all the Makos, which were all open miracles. That one cup of water, a Jew and an Egyptian were both drinking out of it with a straw, and the blood, it was blood for an Egyptian and water for a Jew. That's a nes nigla, that's a nes mifursam. Then we start to realize that everything comes from Hashem, and even the, so to speak, nisim nistarim, nature is also a miracle. He quotes the Gemara in Tainus. The Gemara says that Chanina ben Dosa's daughter was very sad one Friday. And he said to her, "My daughter, why are you so sad?" She says, "Daddy, I lit my Shabbos candles, and I lit a candle for Shabbos, and I thought it was oil, and it was vinegar. And well, what am I going to do?" And he says, "B.T., my ichpat lach. What are you worried about? Mi shamar l'shemen v'yidlok, hu yomar l'chometz v'yidlok." The one who tells oil to burn will tell vinegar to burn. Oil burning is also a miracle. Why does oil burn? Because it's flammable? Because God wants oil to burn and wants vinegar not to burn. Pesach is about our miracles, the miracles of Hashem, and through that, our coming to serve Hashem by realizing that He runs the world. Okay, with that in mind, he says that the Hasidic masters explain that the previous paragraph, that the five Rabbanim, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Zayir, Akiva, Tarfon, were having their Seder in Bnei Brak, and they were telling the story all night until the Talmidim came and said, "Rabboseinu, higi azman kriya shma shel shacharis." So Rav Asher Weiss explained, he doesn't say who, but the Hasidic masters explained that what's Kriya Shema? Kriya Shema is Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemaim. It's our accepting on us the yoke of Hashem. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elkeinu Hashem Echad. So they were telling this story until they got to the point where they understood Shema Yisrael Hashem Elkeinu Hashem Echad. Doesn't just, again, is that drush maybe? Wasn't that it came and they stopped when it was time to say Shema. They told the story until they reached the purpose of Shema, which is to Mekabel Malchus Shemaim. And then Rav Asher Weiss said an amazing story. Apparently the Berditchever, the Kedushas Levi, Rav Yitzchak Levi Berditchever, his custom was, he wanted to hear and see how the simple people in his town made the Seder. So after Shul, on his way home, or after he set up his Seder, he would go and walk the streets of his village and try to eavesdrop, I guess, listen what the people were saying, what the Seder was like. So he gets to one house, and he hears the father of the house say, "Kinderlach, I don't remember the context, but I remember in yeshiva, they told us we have to lengthen the Echad." That's a Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara says, "Kol ma'arich be'echad, ma'arichin lo yama v'shnosev." When we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elkeinu, Hashem Echad. We lengthen the Echad. So he says to his children, "Kindelach, I remember in yeshiva they told us to lengthen the Echad, so let's lengthen the Echad." So he says, "Kineged arba banim dibra Torah." The Torah was said, right, we have the four sons, Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha, Echad Tam, Echad Shein Yodei Lishol. So he lengthened each of the Echad. Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha. And the servant, or the helper, the shamash of Levi Yitzchak Berditchev, started laughing. He says, "It's ridiculous. That's not what the Gemara means. The Gemara is talking about the Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elkeinu, Hashem Echad." And the Kedushas Levi said, "Don't laugh." He said, "Hashem, look at your children. What took the five Tanaim all night to accomplish, this simple Jew accomplished in 2 minutes." And then he said, "Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis." Why Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis and not Kriya Shema Shel Arvis? So said the Kedushas Levi, "Shacharis, what do those letters stand for? Chacham, Rasha, Tam, and She'eno Yodea. Shin, Ches, Resh, Yud, Tov, mixed up. Chacham, Rasha, Tam, She'eno Yodea." He says the point of the Seder is to come to that recognition of Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, like Rabbi Yashiv was saying, the Emuna, that Ramban, and again, it's more of a, the guy was still wrong. That's not what the Gemara means when it says you should lengthen the Echad. But that idea of being Marich the Echad, of being Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemaim. Skipping all the way to the end, I'm sorry, again, I'm not sure, out of order or within themes. The second to last part of the whole Haggadah is Echad Miyodeah. What is that? Just to keep us excited by having a song? What's the point of that song, of that poem, of Echad Miyodeya, Shnai Miyodeya? What are we doing? So some different explanations. In the Haggadah of Eliel Kitov, he says that 13 is a prominent number at the Seder, because you have the 10 Makos and the Tzach Adash Be'achav, which we'll get to later. Those three Simonim is 13. Don't think that the whole Yetzias Mitzrayim happened because of those 13 Makos plagues. It all happened because of all of these Zechusim that we have. Hashem, the Torah, Shisha Seder, Chamisha Chumsha, Avos, Imaos, Chamisha Chumsha Torah, Shisha Seder Mishra. So we're mentioning 13 to correspond to that 13. Okay. Then, I saw a very interesting, in Haggadah of Avram Shor, who's a Rav in Brooklyn today, Alekach Valibov, he explained as follows, based on a story with his father. His father was Rav Gedalia Shor, who they say was the first American raised Gadol, first American raised Talmud Chacham from Torah V'das. He says as follows, there's a Gemara that says that we wear Techelas, or they wore Techelas, because the blue reminds us of Shemayim, and the Shemayim reminds us of the Kisei HaKavod. So someone came to Rabbi Gedalia's story and says, is it really true? Is it really true that just because you see blue, like your next thought is Hashem? Or every time you see blue, you're thinking of the sky, which has you think of the Kisei HaKavod? Is that really true? So Rav Gedalia's story told him, well, there are other halachas of things that you can't or shouldn't look at, whether it's during davening or other, and the reason for that is because that conjures up thoughts of other things. So why only bother that the blue is conjuring up an image of God, but other things you look at aren't conjuring up other negative images? So says Rav Gedalia Shor, it's wherever your thoughts normally are, that's what you're going to start to think about. If you're more connected to God and godliness, so when you think blue, naturally, you're going to think of the sky, which is going to have you think of the Kisei HaKavod and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If a person is less connected to God and is thinking about other things, so then when they see one item, they're going to automatically think of whatever else is normally on their mind. So he says that the point of the Seder is to connect us with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's emunah. It's the realization that there's a God, to bring God into our lives. So you know what we do? We mention numbers. And when you think of a number, what do we think? Number two, we think Derek Jeter, or we think the Luchos. Number three, do we think of the third president of the United States, or do we think of the Avos? So we mention numbers and automatically connect them with Torah, with mitzvahs, with Judaism, to show, so to speak, that after a full night, that's where our mind is that. Our mind is at the point, we think of a number, we right away think of Hashem, we think of Torah, Shisha Seder Mishnah. That's a five. Five is Chamisha Chumsha Torah. Five isn't anything else. It's not the hours it's going to take to clean up. Five is Chamisha Chumsha Torah. And that's why Echad Miyodeya is said at the Seder. One of the Belzer Rebbes has a different explanation, which I thought was very interesting as well. He says that, you know, we all have a moon all year. So what's so special about Pesach? Why we have to proclaim Echad Elokeinu Shebashamayim Uvaretz? All year we have emuna. There's a wealthy person doesn't brag about his money. Shouldn't. Most don't. Most wealthy people don't brag about their money. When are they going to start talking about their money? They drink a little bit. You give a person a little bit to drink, Nichnasayin Yetzasod, and they start to talk. So Pesach now, we just have 4 cups of wine. We're a little bit tipsy. We're able to more openly brag about our emunah and brag about the Torah and mitzvot that we did. So that tells the Rebbe why we're insisting on Echad Elokeinu Shebashamayim Uvaretz at the Seder. So those are a couple of insights related to emunah. Again, we had the Rabbi Yashiv Harei Ani, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. He had yichus, he had money, he had Torah, and he had miracles happen to him. Ben Zoma didn't even have a name. He didn't have smicha. He wasn't Rav Ben Zoma. He was just Ben Zoma. And he was the one who taught Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. He rose to the top over Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. It was Rav Asher Weiss, Echad. He was Marach Be'Echad. Rabbi Hussein Giazman, Kriyas, Rosh Hashachris. They got to the point of being Mekabal Malach Shemayim, and this idea of Echad Miyodeya. The second theme that I want to discuss, similar to Emunah, is the idea of bitachon. Bitachon is different than Emunah. Emunah is the belief that there's a God. There's a God who created the world. There's a God who continuously is involved in our lives. There's one God. Bitachon is the trust or the confidence, the understanding, the recognition that everything God does is for our benefit. And a very interesting insight is about Korach. So we know there's Korach. Who instituted the Korach, the idea of Korach?
Hillel.
Why Hillel? Why was Hillel the one to institute, of all the Tanaim and all the Amoraim, why was Hillel the one to institute Korach? So in many of the Haggadahs, they quote an idea from Rav Shlomo Kluger. Rav Shlomo Kluger says that we have a Gemara in Brachos about Hillel. The Gemara in Brachos in Afsamach says that one time Hillel was coming back from a journey, and he got to his town, and he hears screaming, wailing. There was some tragedy in his town, and Hillel hears it. And right away Hillel says, Muftach ani, I'm positive, I can guarantee, from the word bitachon, Muftach ani, she'ein zeh besoch besi. I know it's not for my house. How did Hillel? And the Gemara quotes a pasuk, Mishmu ara lo yira nachon libo boteach b'Hashem. Shmua ra lo yira, from a bad news. I'm not worried. Good is the one who trusts in Hashem. How did Hillel, what does that mean? So there are those who explain that Hillel taught his family the idea of Gamzul Tov. Hillel knew that even if there would be a tragedy, even if there would be pain, his children wouldn't be so distraught. He knew his children wouldn't be yelling and screaming in a very loud, negative way, because Hillel taught his children all about Gamzu Latova, and that if something happens, Hashem has a plan. Matzah represents our geula. Matzah is the michla de mehemenusa, as the Zohar said. It's the bread of emunah. Maror represents the avdus, the bitterness. We don't recline during maror because it's the avdus. We recline during matzah because it's the geula. So Hillel, who understood gamzul tova, Hillel understood that even when things look bad, even when things look down, it's really for the best. He was able to take the maror and keep it together with the matzah. That even the maror is sometimes, or not always as bad as it might appear, it can be mixed together with the matzah. And that goes very well with what I mentioned earlier. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Shlah, that not only did people kiss the matzah, the Shlah says, I saw people who kissed the maror. Now that is very difficult. We're excited for the maror. The maror we're not excited for. We don't recline. Vayamaru es chayehem. It's the merirus, the bitterness. So also in the Haggadah, Lekach Valiba, Avram Shor says, no, Pesach night, we understand what the galus was about. We understood why we had to go through the bitterness. We understand that everything that happens, even the maror, even that which is bitter, is really from HaKadosh Baruch Hu for our benefit. We might not always understand it, but just like Hillel said, Gamzul Tova, and Hillel was able to take the maror together with the matzah to show that sometimes the maror isn't pure bitter. It's also part of matzah. So Rav Avram Shor says that's why the Shlah said that there are people who would kiss the maror from that idea. There's a letter that Rabbi Akiva Eiger wrote, and he says, I don't understand, why are people so upset about maror? People complain about maror. He says, every day we accept on ourselves to serve God b'chol nafshecha, with our whole life, no matter what happens. And people are upset about maror, and he writes, ani mavtiach be'emuna, I can guarantee you, ki mi sheyaseh ha-mitzvah b'cheshek, someone who does the mitzvah of maror with excitement, usually we don't view it that way, v'yachshov b'simcha, and thinks with joy, b'zeh ha-rega sheni mekai mitzvah zbori, I'm fulfilling the mitzvah right now, maror, kimat shol yargish merirus klal. he won't feel, sense, taste the bitterness. And I don't know if he means physically won't taste it, or he means in life, when bitterness happens, when a person could be excited about tomorrow, could kiss tomorrow, could be korek, could sandwich tomorrow together with the matzah like Hillel, so then we realize that everything comes from Hashem, and there's much less bitterness. Pesach's bitachon, we open the door during Shvot Chamascha. Why we open the door? So the Ramah says, because it's Leil Shimurim. We're not worried. We're not worried about anything. Now the door's open. Anyone who wants can come in. I'm not locks. I don't need a lock on my door. Okay, we promise we close the door a couple seconds later. But and Mefarshim pointed out. But at least for a couple seconds, it's more symbolic. I am not worried. If Hashem wants something to happen, it's going to happen whether there's a door or not. And if He doesn't want it to happen, I don't need a lot. Bitachon, Hashem runs the world. This idea of maror and matzah together is really so much of Seder night. You have this idea, this mix, this conflict between avdus and geula, all mixed in one. What do we do with the maror? We dip it in the charoses. So even when we're having the maror, we soften the maror with something a little sweeter to soften the blow. Sometimes that which is bitter, if we change our perspective maybe it's not pure maror and it has charoses. Even charoses. So what's charoses a zecher for? The tit v'teven, the hard work. Yeah, the more, the build. Charoses is, on the one hand, it's a remembering that hard work, but what else do we mix into the charoses? Apple. Why we mix an apple? Because the Gemara says that the Jewish women, in fact, the Mefarshim say this is, the Gemara says, we only were redeemed from Egypt in merit of the Nashim Tzidkaniyos, the righteous woman. In fact, Rashi and Rashbam in Arvei Pesachim, when the Gemara says that women have to drink four cups of wine, even though it's a mitzvah seish zman grama, because afhein hayu ba'osa anes, they too were included in the miracle. Rashi and Rashbam says it's not that they were included in the salvation, they caused the miracle. On Chanukah, it was Esther, it was Yehudis, on Purim, it was Esther, and on Pesach, it was the righteous woman, because what they do? The men decide they weren't going to have children anymore. There's no point, we're done. To give birth to children born into slavery, we're never going to make it out. We're finished. There's going to be no more Klal Yisrael. And the Nashim Sidkaniya says, no, don't give up. Don't give up hope. We can rebuild. We can move on. And when they had their babies, they went into the field. And the Pasuk says in Shir Hashim, Takas HaTapuach Orarticha. It was under the apple tree. It was under the apple tree that the woman gave birth. There was a lot of shade there. So we, in the Charoses, we commemorate that righteous act of the woman. So on the one hand, the charoses itself is to represent and to remember the hard work. But mitzad sheni, on the other hand, it's also to remember the positivity. So again, you have this conflict between the negative and the positive. Red wine. We drink red wine at the Seder. Why red wine, not white wine? So there are a couple explanations. Some say it's to remember the blood that they put on the doorpost. Some say it's to remember the dam of Mila. One of the Chazal say it was the merit of the Jews in the Bris Mila that we were zoche to lead Mitzrayim. But others say it's to commemorate the blood of all the Jewish children that Paro slaughtered. So even almost every aspect of the Seder, we have this idea of, on the one hand, remember the avdus, the pain, but also to remember the salvation. And I think the idea is because that really nothing in life is pure maror and nothing is pure matzah. We have the bitachon that even when things are bad or they look bad, they appear bad, they're also very likely there's some element of positivity in them, which is the idea of the korich. This is true in our avodas Hashem also. We say maror shazu shanu ochlim al shum ma. So also some of the Hasidic masters explain that we don't say maror zu mipnei ma anu ochlim. That would probably be more grammatically correct. Matzah zu, this matzah, al shuma anu ochlin. For what reason are we eating it? That's not what it says. What does it say? Matzah zu shanu ochlim, this matzah that we eat, al shuma, for what purpose? And the drush is matzah zu shanu ochlim. We eat it. Even if I don't understand it, God, I'm doing your mitzvah. So matzah zu shanu ochlim, we eat it. Then afterwards, I'm going to ask, al shuma, what's the purpose of it? But when we have emunah, when we have bitachon, we don't have to wait to understand everything before we perform the mitzvah. We perform the mitzvah, and then we could try to understand. Titzach adash b'achav. I saw an insight I never saw before this year. What's the point? Everyone wants to know. What's the point of this simanim? I mean, it's not like the greatest chachma in the world. They took dam tzvardeya kinim titzach adash arav dever shchin b'achav bar arba choshek mat b'choros. What's? I'm sure people here have asked this question. That's one of the questions you ask every year, and then at that point, the Seder, either you just want to move on because you're hungry, or you read an insight on the side of the Haggadah, and you know, it's cute, and then you move on and you forget about it the next year. Has anyone seen a compelling insight into what was the great Chachma of Rabbi Yehuda, the great Rabbi Yehuda, his brilliance in Tzach Adash B'Achav?
The ground versus the people versus the sky.
Yeah, so the different elements that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was showing Mitzrayim and maybe the Jewish people of his dominion over the world. That is one explanation. I saw, definitely not pshat, it's definitely not pshat, but the Chassam Sofer has such a nice insight which goes so well with what we've been saying. Ditzach. What word do we see in Ditzach? Ditzah. What's Ditzah?
Happiness.
Ditzah. Ditzah, the cheva happens. Ditzach is from the word ditzah. Adash, what do we see adash? Lentils, right? Lentils. What's unique about a lentil? A lentil is food of mourners, right? That's what Yaakov and Esau, that's what Yaakov Avinu, they're preparing it for the Avelos of Avram Avinu. The adash, adashim, have no mouth, have no opening, Gemara says. That's what's unique about the lentil. There's no opening, there's no mouth. An avel has nothing to say. We have nothing to say. So that's adash. And what's be'achav? He says it's an acronym for Bihios El Chai B'Kirbenu. Bihios El Kel Chai B'Kirbenu be'achav. So says the Chassam Sofer that when is there real simcha? When is there ditza? When adash? When we're quiet? We don't question God? When we don't turn and say, God, what are you doing? Rather, we believe, Biyos chel el chai b'kirbenu. When we recognize that there's a God in us, and don't attack, and don't question, and have that bitachon, so then there's ditzah. So that's the tzach adash b'achav, the makos, which is so much about the emunah, and bitachon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we want to have the tzach ditzah, so be adash, don't question. I mean, we're allowed to question, but don't attack. Be quiet without an opening, without a mouth, and realize that Bihios El Chai B'Kirbenu, there's a God within us running the show. Then we'll have tremendous simcha. I thought that was again, is that pshat? I don't know if that's pshat. I thought it was very nice. Okay, there's another great insight I saw. The first paragraph, and again, I'm sorry we're going a little bit out of order. Supposed to remember where we came from and where we could go. The Chassam Sofer says something I never knew also about karpas. Why do we eat karpas? So there's a lot of explanations. We said a couple of them last year. Some say it's just to get the kids to ask questions. Very simply, why are you having a vegetable now before you even wash and have a motzi? So it's to get them to ask questions. Some say it's derech chirus to have an appetizer. Free people, don't just jump right to the main. You have an appetizer. So we have some, you know, celery, potato, banana for the Elizabeth people who are here. Derech chirus. We spoke out last year at the Remes, the Ksonos Pasim, which I'm not going to share again. The Chassam Sofer said this to remember where we were. Back in Egypt, We didn't have anything to eat. We didn't have meat. We were able to afford meat. We were slaves. We just ate matzah and vegetables. So to remember where we came from, to remember where we were, it wasn't just that we were enslaved. We were hungry. We had nothing to eat. So we kind of put ourselves back in those shoes and we eat a vegetable like they ate back then. To remember where we came from. We say, Maisa Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, Shai Mesubim b'Bnei Brak. The story we referenced earlier. Why is that such a chiddush? Were they the only rabbis who had a seder? I'm assuming every Tana and every Amora and every Rishon and every rabbi who ever lived had a seder Pesach night. So what's such a chiddush that these five rabbis got together and had a seder? Is the chiddush just that it was long? Is that the source for our, what time did you finish? What time did you finish? This is bragging on Pesach, who could finish later? What's the story? What's the story doing here? There's no major chiddush. There's no major insight. So I think what most people explain, this is what certainly my kids came home and their Haggadah last year, is that there's a thought that those who did not have to work in Egypt don't have to celebrate and tell the story. If the whole point is to relive, it's a reenactment of what we went through. So who didn't work in Egypt? The Kohanim, Leviim, and those who converted or weren't Jewish at the time of Mitzrayim. So they didn't work either. They weren't Jewish. So all these five Tanaim, all these five rabbis in the story were Kohanim, Leviim, and children of Gerim. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Azariah, Rabbi Tarfon were Kohanim. Rabbi Shua was a Levi, Rabbi Akiva was the son of a convert. So one could think, why do they have to tell the story? They didn't work. They weren't in the Shibud. There was no Avadim Hayinu. They didn't have to work, the Levim. No, even so, even though they didn't have to work, they still got together and retold the story. Possibly, Kol Yisrael Revim Zebazeh, even though they didn't endure suffering, but the rest of the Jewish people endured suffering. That could be an explanation. Fine. So that's the classic explanation. Rabbi Yasha Zecher Tzadik Bracha has a different insight, which is I found to be so inspiring. And also, someone who knows Kol Torah Kula could explain such an explanation. He says, let's look at what we know about these five Tanaim. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon. Who is Rabbi Eliezer? So there's a Gemara. It's a Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, actually. That Rabbi Eliezer was the son of very wealthy parents. And Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer says that at the age of 20, Rabbi Eliezer did not know the first pasuk of Shema. And he did not know how to bench. It's Rabbi Eliezer. The great Tana Rabbi Eliezer, at 20 years old, did not know Shema and did not know benching. Rabbi Yeshua, what do we know about Rabbi Yeshua? Rabbi Yeshua, the Gemara Baruch Hu says that when the whole incident was happening with Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Gamliel didn't treat him right and he went to go apologize. He got to his house and he saw the walls of his house were all black. And he says, Mitoch kosle beischa nikar sha'ata pechami. You're a blacksmith. The Gemara elsewhere says Rabbi Yeshua was very poor. He had no money. Rabbi Yeshua was very poor. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, so here's a Talmud Chacham, as we said, and he had Yichus. At 18 years old, he already reached, so to speak, the pinnacle and became a Nasi. Rabbi Akiva, we know, didn't know a word of Torah until he was 40. Rabbi Akiva said when he was younger, he would say to the Talmud Chacham, if I saw a Talmud Chacham, I would bite them. Rabbi Akiva was an Amma Aretz at 40 years old, didn't know a thing. Rabbi Tarfon was exceptionally wealthy. The Gemara, Maseches Kala, it's one of the small brises, says he owned a tremendous amount of real estate. He was super busy with his real estate. Says Rabbi Yashiv, these five Tanaim all had a valid excuse to not become a tremendous Talmud Chacham, to not become anything great. Rabbi Eliezer, 20 years old, didn't know Shema. Rabbi Akiva, 40 years old, had never learned a word, was anti-Torah as it gets. Rabbi Yeshua was poor. I'm going to learn. I'm going to become a Talmid Chacham. I'm going to become a Tana. I have everything stacked against me. I can barely eke out a living. Rebbe Tarfon, I'm so busy. I have a thriving real estate business. I'm gonna be the Baal Staka. I'm gonna be the Baal Chesed. A Torah, well, other people can become a great Tana. And even Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, excuse me, he had every reason to let success get to his head. 18 years old, he was raised such a Talmid Chacham in a room of seven. All five became the greatest rabbis, the greatest Tanaim that we have. So this explains Rabbi Yashiv, the start of the Seder. It's a tremendous pick-me-up. It's a tremendous message. Everyone at our table, no matter where you come from, no matter what your background is, no matter what your bank account looks like, no matter any impediment, any factor which could take you, pull you away from becoming tremendous, no, still, look what these Tanaim came. And that's the story of the Jewish people. In Mitzrayim, 210 years enslaved, we had no way to get out. We had no way to become this great nation, and we did. So too, these five Tanaim all became tremendous. And part, I think, one of the major themes of the Seder is to remember where we came from and where we could go. And these five Tanaim all came from difficult or challenging, not all difficult, challenging places, and all rose to great heights. Halach ma'anya, we invite the guests in. And everyone, every Haggadah you'll find offers an explanation, why is this important or part of the Seder? Sukkos, we don't do that. We don't sit, we invite the Ushpizin. But we don't start the Sukkos meal by saying, Kol dechvin yeseh v'yechol, kol dechvin. What are we doing? Why is that an integral part of the Seder? Right before we start the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, we're inviting in guests. What's the point? So the classic explanation is that it's an expression of our freedom. Free, noble people, when you're a slave, you don't have your own house, you don't have your own meals, you don't have the ability to do what you want. Now that we're free, expression of that freedom is inviting people in. I saw a beautiful explanation in a Haggadah called Zos LeYaakov, Rav Shmuel Yaakov Bornstein, who passed away a couple years ago in Israel. He says something very interesting. The point of Seder night is to remember that we were in Mitzrayim. Right? We have to relive, reenact as if we're leaving Mitzrayim. The Torah, in many places, says we should not torment or oppress a ger, a stranger. Why? Because we were game. So the way we remember that we were gerim is by not oppressing the ger. Says the Zos LeYaakov, there are a couple of Rambans in the Torah, that the Jews in Egypt were always hungry. There's one long state, we mentioned this earlier, with the karpas, the chasam sofer, the vegetables. We had no food. So the best way to remember our suffering, our pain, our lack of food, or people giving us food, is by not letting other people be in that situation. The same way that we remember, by remembering that we were in Mitzrayim, we don't oppress or torment the ger. So to remember the lack of food, to remember the hunger that we had, we make sure no one else is in that situation, so we invite them in. He quotes Rabbi Yecheskel Sarna, who was Rosh Yeshiva, the Chevron Yeshiva, who says something, I think, shocking. He says that all 210 years were worth it just so that we can gain that sensitivity to not torment and oppress and not let other people be in a similar situation. Which, that's 210 years is a steep price to pay, but that notion that we now will be a people who won't let others be hungry, and it won't oppress others, and it won't let other people suffer like that, it was worth all 210 years. This goes very well with the idea we said last year, I think, or 2 years ago from Soloveitchik on Yachatz. We break the matzah. So Rav Soloveitchik explains that we break the matzah because there were people in Mitzrayim who had some food. The Levium had food. The Kohanim had food. They didn't have to work. They were enslaved. They had food. So what did they do? They took some of their food and gave it to those who didn't have. So we too, to commemorate that, or to remember that, we have something, break it in half, and give it to another person. I don't have a lot of time left, and I got like another 8 pages. So I'm just going to share 2 or 3 quick hits, if that's okay. Huh? I'm good. Thank you. If you like Drushin, we haven't given any gematrias yet. So we'll go with a really nice one. Another idea of yachatz. We just mentioned yachatz, or Soloveitchik. Says a matzah is a segula for Chaim Tovim, for good life. How is matzah segula for Chaim Tovim? So the gematria of matzah is 135, right? Mem tzadi hey. Gematria of matzah is 135. So we split the matzah, right? Yachatz, we split the matzah. You can't split an odd number. So you try to split 135. So what do you have? 68 and 67. 68 the gematria is Chaim, right? And 67 the gematria is Tovim. So you have a matzah, which is 135. Yachatz, you split it in half. You're left with 68 and 67, which is Chaim Tovim. Okay? For whatever that's worth. I'll share one other thought, and then we'll end. The last 2 years, I shared what I thought were inspiring ideas behind stealing the Afikoman. So I'll review them quickly. After I share, I saw a new explanation this year, which I never seen before. And the minog that we spoke in the last couple of years about, should we steal the Afikoman? Is it bad chinuch? Is it not bad chinuch? Why all of a sudden are we stealing? The Ksav Sofer's son, says something very interesting. There's a Gemara in Pesachim, and Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, which says a person should not live in a city where the horse does not neigh and the dog does not bark. Why is that? Why is it good? Why is it not? It's advisable not to live in a city where the dog doesn't bark. Because if dogs don't bark, there's nothing to deter the robbers. People come and steal. Dogs see them, they bark, they run away. This is a Gemara. Gemara Pesachim Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. Don't live in a city where the dogs, this is before, I guess, police and lights and alarms and showroom and whatnot. So don't live in a city where the dog doesn't bark. We know, the Pasuk says, that when the Jews left Mitzrayim, there was not one dog who barked. The Jews were at great risk that night. Anyone who wanted could have come and robbed the Jews. If there's no dogs barking, the Gemara says, you have robbers. There's no deterrent for the robbers. So as a zecher to the miracle, that even though there was not one dog barking, and no one stole from us, so we steal the Afikoman as a remez, as a hint, it's the Ksav Sofer, as a remez, as a hint to that nes, that in the tribe, even though there was no dogs barking, no one stole from us. That's the explanation of the Ksav Sofer. I will share, because I don't want to end up. On that, I'll just share the 2 ideas. If you remember, I apologize, but it's good chazar. I'll tell you the truth. I didn't remember them until I was looking back at my notes from the last year's Rav Schwab has a beautiful Haggadah. Last year it came out in Hebrew, and they put it out in English this year. So I didn't see the English one, but I'm assuming it's there also. He says something really, really beautiful. He says his father, every year at the Seder, would explain this to the children as they were breaking the matzah for yachatz and putting it in the afikoman bag, and then he would explain it later on when he was discussing the gift with them. His father said as follows: we break the matzah, right? We keep the smaller half on the table, and we put the larger half, the larger piece, in a bag for the afikoman. He says that the smaller piece represents olam hazeh, this world. What do we do with that smaller piece of matzah? We keep it with the ka'ara, which has maror and has charoses. Olam hazeh, this world, is a mix of maror and charoses, like we said earlier. There's positive, there's negative. There's failures, there's bitterness, and there's the accomplishments and the victories. Okay? That's a smaller piece. The bigger piece, said Rav Schwab's father, is an allusion to Olam Haba, and it's hidden. We don't see Olam Haba. We don't really know, we believe, but we don't see Olam Haba. The halacha is that Afikomen can only be eaten al hasova, when one's full, instead of Rosh Rab's father, because the Afikomen, the bigger piece, which represents Olam Haba, a person can only get when they're full of Torah and mitzvah. So Rosh Rab's father would explain this to them, and would say, this smaller piece which is on the table represents Olam Haza. This piece that we're hitting is Olam Haba. And to teach them that Olam Haba is something worth a lot, he would give them a gift. And he would say, I'm giving you a gift because there's nothing more valuable than trying to attain Olam Haba. And that was his insight in stealing the Afikomen with the Minog to give a gift to the children. That was one, I think, very inspiring, uplifting message of the Afikomen. There's another one. There's one other place in the Torah, or one place in the Torah, where there's sanctioned stealing. Where was the sanctioned stealing in the Torah? Okay, so maybe I'm thinking of another one. So maybe there's two. So Yitzchak, Rivka tells Yaakov Avinu to steal the bracha. The Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar says that incident happened on the first night of Pesach, and the two goats, the Gedi Izim, that Yaakov brought for Yitzchak was an allusion to the Korban Pesach and the Korban Chagigah. It was Pesach night. Okay, Yitzchak says to Esav, Ba Achicha Bimirma. Your brother came with trickery, vayikach birchasecha, and he took your bracha, he stole your bracha. Bimirma, the word bimirma, trickery, has the same gematria as Afikom in 287. Ba'achicha bimirma, this Pesach night, has the same gematria of Afikom. So what do? We're trying to awaken the koach of those brachas. We're telling our children that when it comes to the brachos of Hashem, when it's coming to success in your spirituality, so sometimes you have to steal. Now, not really steal. You have to grab. You have to reach for things that maybe aren't yours. You think you can't be successful in business. You think you can't do well in school. You think you can't be successful in any area. God has those brachos. Grab them. Steal them, so to speak. Just like Yaakov stole, quote unquote, the brachos. Ba'achicha b'mirma, Pesach night, we tell our children also, reach for the sky, reach for the stars, steal, grab the brachos from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, we'll stop here. As we started with, Maha Voda Hazos Lachem, the Ben Arasha, specifically on Pesach, says, who needs this? Who wants this? Because the Ben Arasha could go 2 weeks before Pesach. Instead of hearing anything positive, it's all the negativity, the tension, the yelling, the screaming, the complaining. So he says, Ma avodah zos lachem. And the way we counter that is by, if not feeling excited, at least acting excited and doing things to show how special this Yom Tov is and the mitzvah. So whether or not, like Rav Avigdor Miller, we'll put chocolate in with the bread for Bedikas Hametz, I haven't decided definitively. I'm thinking about trying it, and they'll really very quickly look for the bread. The Rav Nassim Gestedner, who brought his chametz to beer chametz in his beautiful leather silver challah cover, or like the Mishnah Berurah calling the shla, would kiss the matzah, kiss the mar. Whether we do that or not, hopefully we'll be excited. Our children will be excited. Our grandchildren will be excited, and we'll be able to have a chakash v'smeach.